Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning, everyone. We are so excited that you're here with us today. If I have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc, and I get the honor of being the lead pastor at the New Iberia campus here along with my wife, Grace. And today is going to be a really cool day. I know I say that a lot, but as we're kind of going through this idea of vision, this was actually supposed to be a 4-week series, but Pastor Tim had a message. And how many of y'all enjoyed Pastor Tim a couple of weeks ago? My word. What a phenomenal word. I'm not sure if I've ever heard a word that good on giving, and man, I was challenged with it. I was blessed by it. And then last week, I told y'all, Pastor Jacob called me up on Saturday morning and said, man of God, this is real simple. It's a yes or no answer. Do you want me to preach tomorrow? Look, when Pastor Jacob has a word, you let him go. And man, that word about the journey was so good. I mean, I was sitting on the front row thinking, man, thank God for my journey. And as I'm thinking through vision, that actually played perfectly into what my original plan was for this 4-week series, which was to talk about, because here's the thing, when I think about vision, when I think about that word, it makes me think about what's ahead of us. And I know that one of my gift set, within my gift mix, I know there's 4 different types of people that I like to put around me. There's the visionary, processor, operator, and synergist. It's just some terms. Well, I fall under the visionary category, and I know that's one of my strengths, is to share a preferable future for not just a church people, but individual people as well. And one of my joys in life is to walk with our staff and to share what I believe God has for them, for us, and for this church. And as I think about that, before I get into the Word of God, I just want to, right on the front end, on behalf of my wife and I, say thank you. Thank you so much for the kind words, for the encouragement that you've given to us this past week. My assistant Gwen surprised us with a bunch of letters that you guys wrote and some gifts that y'all gave to us. And I'm just telling you, she surprised us all, took us on this wild goose chase all around New Iberia. Not happy about that. If you saw me with my window rolled down yelling at a white van in front of us, it was probably Gwen. But she took us to my mom's house. My mom and dad made an incredible meal for our staff and just celebrated us. And that meant the world to me. Just so that you guys know, I'm a words of affirmation person. I am physical touch, but one of my love languages is words of affirmation. And I sat down in the chair that I usually sit at my mom's house, and I read every single one of them. In fact, what I want to do for you, there were 2 of them specifically that really impacted me. Is it okay if I read those to you? I'm not gonna read their names, but they meant the most to me, and I wanted to show you how much I appreciate it. I've got 2 of them here. It says, Pastor Jacob, you've been pastoring my husband and I since we were 16 at the Assembly Youth Group. We're so blessed to have known you and known God in you all these years. Thank you for the tremendous love and acceptance you've shown us. That's a big deal. That's a big deal because it tells me that God's not just doing something. He's not just doing a new thing. He's renewing an old thing. And I don't know where you are in your life, but there are things that God maybe has done in your past that he wants to put his finger on and renew in your life. That was one. Hold up. I'm going to get to the other one. Pastor Jacob, I've never felt so close to God as I do now. I grew up Catholic, got baptized, made my first communion, confirmed, and even got married in the Catholic Church, and I still feel closer to God here in the last 27 years as I have been in the last 3 months at this church. So when you say welcome home, just know it is the truth. Also, this is a big one for me, my kids love it here, and they actually get up and want to come and worship. Even my 2-year-old loves it. So thank you for everything. I was in a tough spot in my life, and now I see some light. So once again, thank you. Can I tell you something, church, that what you just heard was gratitude towards me, which I super appreciate. I really do. But it also says something about you. Grace and I just get the honor of leading this thing, and it really is an honor for us. But it helps when you have a congregation who's willing to say, hey, I know this might be a little bit different than I've always done it, but I'm willing to give it a chance because of you. There are two families right now that are coming to this church because you welcomed them. Thank you. And I believe that gratitude is not gratitude unless it is expressed. And what you did for me is you expressed gratitude, and I want to express it back and say thank you. Today, as a part of our series, we're going to jump into the Word in just a minute, but I don't know if you've ever heard this old adage. When I think about vision, I told you, I think about the future. But I don't know if you've ever heard this saying before. It goes, in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've been. Has anybody ever heard that before? I believe that in order for us to be confident in where we're headed, we have to know where we've been. I've been a part of this church for a long, long, long time, and I want to ask this question. I don't want to embarrass anybody. If you don't want to lift your hand, it's okay. How many of y'all have been coming here for 3 years or longer? How many of y'all been coming here for 10 years or longer? 20 years or longer? 30 years or longer? What you see here is legacy. What you see here is determination. And in order for us to know where our future lies, we have to remember what we've gone through. We have to remember who we stand on. And today's going to be a little bit different. In fact, y'all see I got my little table out. I don't have my pulpit out because today is not a preaching session. Today, I want you to sit back and relax because I want to go through what the history of who we are, and I've got a reason for it. And whenever I get to the actual scripture part, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. But I want to share with you who we've been so that we can know where we're going. So a little over 75 years ago, you heard that right. 75 years ago, the Assemblies of God planted a church in New Iberia called First Assembly of God, New Iberia. And sent a pastor down and through a series of a couple of different pastors. They couldn't find anybody who was able to stand the test of time. And through a series of attempts, they couldn't find a permanent pastor until 1970. And in 1970, God called Pastor Don and Sophia Neal to New Iberia. We affectionately know them as Mom and Pop. How many of y'all remember Mom and Pop? Pop Neal was actually Pastor Jacob's pastor for a number of years. Pastor Jacob Aranza came and taught Sunday school here when he was young. He preached here. He cut his teeth in ministry here, and he called Pop his pastor. That was a big deal. And Pop was a little different. He was a little different. Strong as an ox. My gosh, the man had four, maybe it was because I was little, but the man had forearms that looked like Popeye. I just remember, like he would hug me, and I just remember feeling like I was getting wrapped up by an iron something. He was a strong, strong man, and he thought differently. He had a different approach to God. He had a different approach to ministry. He was passionate about teaching God's word, and he was passionate about seeing lost people saved. They began leading the church, and they found a home on North Lewis Street. Some of y'all may have seen this church if you pass by it, but right now it's being occupied by Cornerstone Cowboy Church. Anybody passed it? That was one of our first homes. And it was there that God did something incredible. See, Pastor Andy Starks, who's the pastor there, is actually the one that taught me that phrase, in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've been. Because he taught history here at ACS for a couple of years. And that was the first thing I'd ever heard him tell me, and it stuck. So it's cool how it kind of all happened that way. So in the 70s, there began a move of God. Some of y'all may remember it. It was called the Jesus Movement. How many of y'all around for the Jesus Movement? Bunch of hippies getting saved. See, in the 70s, there was this free love movement. But the Holy Spirit was also doing something on the other side of it. See, what was happening was all these hippies were getting saved and trying to figure out, what is this all about? In fact, here in New Iberia, it was a little different. See, because y'all know this, but New Iberia is a real, like, it's a Catholic community, right? Very heavily Catholic. Well, all of these hippies who were raised Catholic were getting saved, going to Catholic Bible studies, but the Holy Spirit was coming, and they were speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they didn't even know what that was all about. In fact, the Catholic Church got real, like, uncomfortable with it. They were like, what is happening right now? So a lot of these Catholics, they called them charismatic Catholics. It was the charismatic Catholic movement. They ended up trying to find a church that was understanding of what was happening, and they found a little church on North Lewis, and they found a man by the name of Pop Neal. And Pop Neal had a different approach. See, because I don't know if y'all know this, but back in the 70s, and before that, if you went to church, you had to dress up. Like, I'm talking suit and tie. You had to have your hair fixed. You wore your Sunday best. If you didn't have a jacket, you borrowed one from a bum off the street. You know what I'm talking about? And yet in walked a bunch of hippies. Most of them, I'll be honest, still tripping from the night before. Still high, still smelled like weed, still smelled like alcohol. And they walked in, and let me tell y'all something. Church people, oh my goodness. I know what you did last night. Why you still up in here smelling like weed? Look, they were getting upset. Why are all these hippies in my church that don't look like me trying to get what I have? This is my clique. This is my house. I pay my tithes. Uh-oh. Let me tell you something. When you give your tithes, it does not give you ownership. Your ownership comes from Jesus. Because your tithe does not go to a church. Sure, physically in the natural it does, but when you tithe, it goes to Jesus. That is your sacrifice. He died for you. I believe your tithe is just a sacrifice to him. Oh, we don't like to talk about money up here. So in the 70s, all these hippies were getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and Pop Neal was so excited about this. Because he said, these are young people coming to the knowledge of this, of Jesus Christ who came, died for them. This is what we've been trying to tell them. But now they're all of a sudden, they're feeling this thing. And y'all, the church people got upset. Why are they up? Why are they in my church? Pop Neal said something amazing. And Pastor Paul told me this. He told me the story. Whenever they started coming, Pop said this. Why don't we welcome them in and love them? If it's important to God, he'll change their heart. Y'all, that was in the 70s. Can I tell you, pastors did not preach. Pastors have a hard time preaching that right now. Imagine in the 70s, a preacher that has church people who are giving their tithes, that are getting upset with him, yet he says, I don't care what you say, because I don't live by your rules, I live by God's rules, and if God loves them, then he'll change them. If not, it's not important to you. Why are you worried about it? Wow. Can I tell you something? The people that raised their hand just a little bit ago, from 30 plus years, some of them were the hippies that walked in still high, and they're still serving God. I can see some important news. You. From that point on, the church started to grow. It started to grow because Pop Neal was accepting. He was accepting of people that maybe didn't think like the modern church at the time did. He accepted people for who they were. So much so that they had to start looking for a bigger building. That little church on Lewis Street couldn't hold the amount of people. And this was before mega churches. This was before the big buildings. This was before any of that stuff. And then they were driving out towards Generette one day. And God spoke to Pop and said, there's some land out there. Some land out there on Amador. I believe you're supposed to buy it. And sure enough, in 1984, this building was built. 1984, this building was built. A year later, we opened up the school ACS. Through fundraising, through working hard, through building campaigns. In fact, my parents stood on this platform as a representation I'm willing to sacrifice. My parents laid the foundation of what you're sitting in right now. People that raised their hands just a little bit ago that have been here for 30 plus years, their giving, their sacrifice is what we get to reap right now. Because of what they sacrificed, we get to experience all this. So in 1988, Pop Neal walked up from that pew. It was pink back then. So was the carpet. So were the curtains. Everything was pink. All right, mauve, whatever. It was, whatever. It looked pink to me. I was seven. But in 1988, I don't remember this, but about 1988, Pop Neal walked up on this platform. Mom was playing the organ. Pastor Paul was playing the guitar. He walked up and said, "Yeah, so I'm gonna retire. Paul, how about you preach next week?" Mom was like, wait, what? Pastor Paul was like, wait, what? That was the transition. Pop Neal knew, in order for this church to go where I believe God's called it to, there has to be new leadership. And I'm trusting Paul to be able to take this into the next generation. And I believe it was 1989, whenever Pastor Paul was installed as the lead pastor. As a part of Assemblies of God, there's some voting that has to happen, congregational voting, and there's a process with a board and a selection committee and all of that stuff. And Pastor Paul became the lead pastor. He became the senior pastor of First Assembly of God and ushered in a new era of worship. My word, the worship that went on in this building was nothing short of heavenly. Man, I can remember standing in services as a young boy, young 5, 6 years old, feeling the Holy Spirit like never before. Now, I don't know if I've ever felt it since, except for this past Friday night. Some of y'all who follow me on social media, and I wasn't even planning on saying this, but this Friday night, something brought me back to those days here in the 90s. Something so powerful. On Friday morning, I get a text message from Pastor Gabe Smith. "Hey, bro, I got two tickets. I got a ticket to the Kanye concert. You want to come with me?" What I didn't tell him was that Pastor Paul sent me that text message the day before. But I was like, all right, you know what? I've been reading up about this. I've been watching all the videos. I don't know if y'all are keeping up with the whole thing too, but I've been watching it. I'm excited. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I was excited. It wasn't because a man had a conversion. It was because a man who was very influential was praising my Jesus. That's why I was excited. Whether it sticks, whether it doesn't, I don't care about that. Right now, he is praising my Jesus, and I'm going to praise him with him. So Pastor Gabe and I jumped in the car. We went to the concert. And let me tell you something. It wasn't a concert. It wasn't a concert. At the beginning, it kind of felt like one because anytime, I don't know if y'all have ever been to concerts, but when you walk into a concert, there's excitement because the star comes in and there's all this excitement. But from the moment that Kanye West walked into the middle of the circle, because all there was some speakers, and then there was a little band, and there was a choir, an 80-person choir, y'all. Glory. That was one of the best choirs I've ever heard in my life. Like, y'all, I read this morning. The only way to give the best compliment you can give a musician is this face. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, because you just know it's good. That was my face the whole night. It was just that good. But as soon as Kanye walked into that circle, there was a There was a Hammond B3 organ like Mom Neil used to play right there. And the choir director was standing on top of it. And Kanye wasn't anywhere near that area. He wasn't on the platform. He wasn't up in front of everybody. In fact, he only sang like two or three songs. It wasn't a whole lot. Because he wanted his focus to be on Jesus, not on himself. That was powerful to me. And as soon as they started singing, they sang a song called Selah. And it was, the choir goes into a hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I was getting hyped. Look, I was getting it. And Pastor Gabe. But when I was there, there was a point in the service. Look, a preacher preached. He did a great job. They give an altar call. Hundreds of people gave their life to Jesus. It was awesome. It was incredible. The whole time, Kanye's just sitting on the side, just worshiping. He had three of his kids with him. And at one point, North was on his shoulders, and she sang every word to every one of the choir songs. It was the most precious thing I've ever seen. But in that moment, because after the first song, the whole Kanye part wore off. Kanye's there. It's cool to see somebody. I don't get starstruck. I didn't even get starstruck when he walked out. I was like, all right, bro, like, cool. You good, all right. One of the most creative men I've ever experienced live, but it wasn't about him. His focus was on Jesus. Therefore, everybody else's focus went to Jesus. And there was a moment. I had a couple of friends that were behind me, friends who grew up in this church. A couple of friends behind me, and we were just standing in worship as the choir director led us into worship. And I've got tears rolling down my face. They've got tears rolling down their face. And they haven't been in church in a long time. But it was a moment where white people, black people, rich people, poor people, people of every race, every color, every denomination. I know there were Republicans, there were Democrats, there were independents. That is what heaven is supposed to look like. Whether you agree or disagree, if this is real with Kanye or not, I don't care. Right now, he is worshiping my Jesus, and I'm going to worship Jesus with him. It has nothing to do with what he does moving forward. I don't care because it's not about him. His relationship with Jesus does not determine my relationship with Jesus. Whether he falls off or he doesn't. And I pray, you know what? We prayed this morning. All the lead pastors pray in the morning. We all pray together. And we prayed for Kanye. Father, we pray that you would put a pastor in Kanye's life so that somebody can speak life over him and lead him into what you've called him to do. That's what our prayer for him is. Because you know what? If God can save me, he can also save Kanye. I tell you that because I haven't felt that type of Holy Spirit in a long time. Because in the 90s here, there was a move of God that swept across not just New Iberia, but it even poured over into Lafayette. There were a lot of Lafayette people that were coming to New Iberia to experience what God was doing here. This was a beacon of hope. And I know this is hard to kind of imagine right now, but back in the 80s, this was one of the biggest buildings and one of the most beautiful churches and the most technologically advanced. In fact, Brother Larry Stockstill came here to see what we were doing to get ideas for Bethany and Baton Rouge. Because we had this projector up here. I don't know if y'all remember that. Look, I remember. That's how I fell asleep. I always fell asleep in church because I have to look up on that thing. But that's where the screen was. And that was revolutionary. I say all that to say God did some incredible things here. And just a couple of years ago, just like Pop Neil, a couple of years ago, Pastor Paul kind of felt, it was about 2015, he began to feel like his season was changing. And he didn't know what that looked like. Look, if you know Pastor Paul, the man hears from God. He hears from God. Now, He likes to make sure that he's hearing from God. So sometimes it will take 6 months. Sometimes it'll take 10 years. But he will be sure that he has heard from God. And he will not move until he's heard from God. And in the summer of 2017, Pastor Paul called up Pastor Jacob Aranza. He just said, Pastor Paul, what would it look like? What would it even look like for us to be in our Savior's church? And Pastor Jacob went full Pastor Jacob. Man of God, let's do it. I'm coming tomorrow. We're going to do this. Where are we going to? Called him every morning for like 3 weeks at 6 a.m. Man of God, what's the Lord speaking to you right now? And Pastor Paul said, you know what? I don't know if this is the right timing. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. Let's still wait on the Lord. Let's still wait on the Lord. And I've already shared with y'all kind of my story a little bit back in January. If you didn't hear my part of this story, I encourage you to go back and listen to it on the podcast. But there was a couple of things that happened in that moment that had to be God. In January of 2018, the church I was at was going through a very difficult time. And some things had been done in leadership. Some decisions had been made. Some moral failures had happened. And the first person to show up in January was Pastor Jacob Aranza. He was there to be with the pastor, to be with his family, and said, what can I do to serve y'all? And it's funny because I was on staff there. I was, you know, I was in leadership, and I had met Pastor Jacob once or twice before, and I didn't really have a relationship with him. But when I went up and I greeted him, I said, hey, Pastor Jacob, I don't know if you remember, but my name is Jacob LeBlanc. He goes, oh, yeah, from New Iberia. I said, yeah, that's me. And he told me this. He said, we're going to be in New Iberia by the end of this year. I was like, I know Pastor Paul. That ain't going to happen. But he seemed pretty confident. I was like, all right. A couple of months later, through a series of events, Grace and I found ourselves turning in our letter of resignation and saying, we can't be a part of this. We want to be a part of Spiritual Family. And had a couple of job offers across the United States. And we had accepted a job offer in Destin on the beach. Yeah, you're right. And then the pastor there said, Jacob, do me a favor. I know you've been through a lot the last couple of months. Go ahead, go back down to New Iberia to settle for a month. Just be there for a month, rest, and then you can. Then let's start up in July. I was here for 3 days when Pastor Paul said, hey, man, you want to grab some lunch? Well, of course, Pastor Paul. I'd love to love grabbing lunch with you. And he began to tell me what was on his heart, where he saw himself, where he saw the church going. And he asked me to be a part of it. And I'll be honest with you, I told him no. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to the beach. Right near the beach. But God had other plans. Because, I'm very open with my pastors. I called my pastor up in Destin. I said, hey, I want to let you know, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. Pastor Jacob Aranza is involved. Pastor Steve said, well, if Pastor Jacob Aranza is involved, I give you my blessing. Because he felt that God was in this. And one day I'm going to go through all of it with you. If you go through Growth Track, you hear a pretty good bit of it. But see, the reason that conversation took place between Pastor Jacob and Pastor Paul is because Pastor Jacob and Pastor Paul had a relationship that goes back over 30 years. In fact, Pastor Jacob has told you all this, but Pastor Jacob and Miss Michelle did their marriage counseling with Pastor Paul and Miss Lynn. Really, really funny how that all happened. But there's been a relationship that's been built over time. And when those talks began, there was nobody to lead the church, but we stepped in and we felt like this was God. I told Pastor Paul that the only way I'd come back is through Spiritual Family and through our Savior's church. And that was a little over 18 months ago. And we've officially been an OSC campus for 13 months. And God's done some incredible things through that time. Done some incredible things. See, that's, and I didn't even share everything. My word, I could probably talk about this. Pastor Sean will tell you, when I do Growth Track, he's like, all right, wrap it up. But But we have to know where we've been. And that's the history that I can speak to because I was a part of it. I was a part of it. I remember Pop. And in the last couple of years of his life, even though he didn't remember my name, I knew he knew who I was. Hey, Josh. How's Oliver and Amelia? You know their names, but you can't remember. Come on, Pop. I loved going to visit Pop. Even to his last couple of days, he would pray over me. Josh, can I pray over you? Absolutely, Pop. And I loved it. I loved being in Pop's presence. Still to this day, I don't know if they like it, but I still walk into Pastor Paul and Miss Lynn's house without knocking. Because I did it as a kid. That was my house too. But I still love spending time with Miss Lynn. Love spending time with Pastor Paul. It's my spiritual family. And now, Pastor Jacob is my spiritual dad. And I've learned so much from him. And I'm grateful to be a part of this. See, we're now our Savior's Church, and God put this church on the heart of our pastor, Pastor Jacob, in 1998. One of the first conversations he had when they started talking about multi-site. Well, what about New Iberia? Pastor Jacob, can we go to New Iberia? Pastor Jacob said, we're not going to New Iberia because I love the man of God who is in New Iberia, and I'm not going to overstep. When he calls me, gives me permission, then we'll go to New Iberia. That is honor. That's honor. In 1998, Pastor Jacob wanted to come to New Iberia, but he said he wouldn't do it because Pastor Paul was still in place. A lot of people don't know that, but Pastor Jacob honored Pastor Paul and still does. See, Pastor Jacob knew that impact in a region would be more effective if we brought Jesus to where people were, not asking them to come to us. So he thought he had the forethought to reach a community through campuses, not one giant church. We are now one church. I know it says six locations. I like to call it six and a half. See, because we had our Broussard campus. That was our first one. Then we launched the Lafayette campus and then Opelousas, then Midtown, now New Iberia to the brand new Youngsville. But we also have a service happening at the UL campus called Sub 30. Sub 30, anybody sub 30 in the house? It's not a full-blown campus, but we're reaching students on the campus of the University of Louisiana. And whenever I say we're on the campus, we are using their stuff. We're in their auditoriums because we want to reach God where they are. So why did I share this story with you then? Why did I share it with you? Because we're standing on the shoulders of giants right now. From Pop to Pastor Paul to Pastor Jacob, they paved the way so that you can experience what God's doing right now in New Iberia. If we don't honor the legacies of the men of God who paved the way for us to reach people and build lives today, then we will lose our appreciation for the work that he's doing in us today. Why do you think that the Jewish people still celebrate Passover? Is it because they like to party? Well, sure. But it's also to remember that where they've come from so that they can look forward to what God's going to do. And I'll say it this way. Remembering the past works of God keeps us grounded when circumstances interrupt what he's doing now. So I want to share with you what I've learned looking at scripture, looking back at the history of our Savior's church in New Iberia. I want to share with you one of the best stories in scripture about God's faithfulness is the story of the Israelites being freed from Egypt. And right at the end of their time in the wilderness, God speaks to Joshua. He says, hey, Moses, he's not going to be able to come into the promised land. He's passed. And now it's time for you to step up and lead these people. And in Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous three times. And each time he represents something a little bit different. Check this out. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, it says this. Be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either right or left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command.
Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a charge. What a charge. If you've ever stepped into a place of leadership, to have somebody at your back to say, hey, you can do this, be strong and courageous, much less the God of the universe. That's a big deal. Within each one of those charges, God was encouraging Joshua to pay attention to a specific thing. Three different ways to be strong and courageous, and each one of them represents a different characteristic of God. And this is what God's been teaching me through this last season. So he's been telling me, trust the process. Trust the process. Let's check this out. So number one, we see this in verse 6. It's in God's hands. Number one, it's in God's hands. The Israelites had come out of 40 years of slavery. They were still learning what freedom looked like. And last week, Pastor Jacob reminded us that God made promises to the Israelites that they would inherit the promised land. In verse 6, it says this, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. He promised that he would give them the land. Y'all, this was 700 years earlier. The Israelites had to wait 700 years for God to fulfill their promise, but he's faithful when he says he's going to do something. I want to teach you a word that I grew up knowing whenever I did JBQ, called Junior Bible Quiz. And when I talk about that, it's in God's hands, I'm reminded of this word of God's omnipotence. That word omnipotent means all powerful. See, this describes God's power. There is nothing that God cannot handle. There are situations that can keep us focused on the wrong things. And we remember that God is the one who rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. He's the one who saved Daniel from the lions. He's the one who walked around the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is the same God who walks with you through every one of your circumstances. See, we serve a God who is mighty enough to save us from our past. And he can propel us to our future. Why? Because not only can he save us with his power, he sees the whole picture. That's number two. Verses 7 and 8 says this. This is the second time he says it. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either right or left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. How many of y'all want to be successful? That wasn't rhetorical. If you want to be successful, God gives you the plan right there. You will be successful in everything you do. How? Study this book of instruction continually. Continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. The second word I want to teach you is God is omniscient. And that word omniscient means all knowing. When I look back at my own past, I see the faithfulness of God. I see it all over the place. Let me be honest with you. There were times on this journey that I shared with you that I didn't know if God was going to show up. In fact, there were things that Grace and I literally said, well, we're not saying yes unless God does this, 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 and this. There's no way he's going to do that. All of it lined up. Every time. When we first transitioned OSC from Assembly Christian Center, we lost about 300 people in the first 3 months. A lot of people don't know that. They knew we had some transition. We knew we lost some people. And I'll be honest with you, as the one who sees the big picture, I don't see details of the finances, but I see the big picture. I see what comes in. I'll be honest, I panicked. How are we gonna have church? How are we going to keep the lights on? What are we going to do? And I'll be honest, I got a little upset with God. God, you called us back. We said we wouldn't come back unless you did this, 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 and you did all of them only to bring us back into pain? only to bring us back so that the people that we love the most are not doing ministry with us anymore? Only to see people leave the church that I've grown up with? And I'd say, God, if you were in this, why would you call us here into making the situation worse than it ever was before? And God responded to me by saying, are they your people or are they mine? Yes, sir. I know what God's called me to do. Every single one of y'all that are under the sound of my voice, we're all sheep. The Bible calls us all sheep, being led by the ultimate shepherd. I have been assigned to lead the pasture in New Iberia called OSC. But at the end of the day, you are not mine, you're his. It is my job to lead you, to feed you, sometimes correct you, but always protect you. That's my job. And the moment that I say, I can't give up people, these people can't leave. Before we transition, and I'm, y'all know me, I'm gonna tell y'all what I feel. Before we transitioned, we were averaging about 500, 550 in attendance. Some days were lower. In fact, my first Sunday here, we were at 410. I remember, that's including kids. Right now, we're averaging, including kids, for both services, about 850. I don't attribute that to my preaching. I don't attribute that to these lights, this LED wall, the paint job. I attribute that to the fact that God wants to do something big and he's chosen this donkey to get it done. I know who I am. Moses had a stuttering problem. Abraham was a liar. In fact, he tried to give away his wife so he wouldn't get in trouble. Baby girl, I would never do that to you. Sorry, girl. You my boo thang. All right, my bad. So how do I know if somebody's in my care? How do I know if somebody is a sheep that's been called to this flock? This is one of my favorite sayings. I didn't come up with this. I'm going to show you who did. You either support the vision or you support division. It's not a matter. You decide if this is where you want to be fed, this is where you want to be led, if this is where you want to be corrected. Because a lot of people want to be fed, but not many people want to be corrected. But just know if I correct you, it's because I'm trying to protect you. Because I know God does that to me. Pastor Jacob does that to me. So I'm going to do it to the sheep that are entrusted to me as well. Can I tell you something? I'm a sheep too. I'm just a leader sheep. But I do know that it's most important for us to focus on our health. Y'all, I shared some numbers with you just a little bit ago. I'll be honest, I could care less. I don't care how many people we have. But what I do care about is how healthy you are if you ever decide to leave. This past week, I had a couple in my office. And I'll share this story. I'll end with this. I had a couple in my office who just came to me and said, Pastor, look, we love you. And we're grateful for everything that's happened in New Iberia, but I just don't feel like God's calling us here anymore. And I stopped them. I said, number one, you don't have to explain anything. Because if God said that you're not supposed to be here, I trust you to hear God. I trust you that God's speaking to you right now. So you don't have to say anything else. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Because you honored me enough to come and talk to me about it, let me honor you by calling a couple of pastors and setting up some meetings so that you can find another place that you can be fulfilled. I called two different pastors in our community. Said, hey, I've got this amazing couple. They're phenomenal. Just don't feel like this is their fit. Would you be willing to meet with them? I'll be honest, they were very surprised. Wait, what? You mean you want to give me somebody from your congregation? Whoa. Hold up, pastor. They're not mine and they're not yours. They're God's. And if my job is to be a leader, then I'm going to usher them into their next pin. That's my job. If I'm to love you the way that I want to, if you'll let me, because let me tell you this, I can't pastor you beyond what you allow me to. I'm not going to come into your life and say, oh, you need to fix this, you need to fix this. Somebody's going to have to come to me and say, pastor, I'm struggling with this. What do you think? Well, I'll share with you what the Word of God says. I'll share you. This is what God's Word says. You can do what you want. But if you want a blessed life, I'll show you how to do that. The third thing that I learned through Joshua chapter 1, I believe it's found in verse 9. Can you put that up there for me? This is my command. Be strong and courageous and don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Number three, God is always there. He is always there. And that's tough for us to kind of comprehend sometimes. But the fact that in your lowest time, God was right there. The book of Psalms says he was right there to catch your tears and your sorrow. The only way he can catch your tears is if he's right there with you. And I remember for me, I've shared with y'all my conversion story. December 13th, the year 2000, I've shared that with y'all before. But I don't know if I've ever shared the circumstances around it. 15 years old, I was going to Westgate at the time, and I had a group of friends that they weren't leading me. They weren't leading me towards the things that I knew I was supposed to go. But I felt something. I felt like I was called to bigger. I felt like I was called to more. I felt like I was called to do something huge for God's kingdom. I didn't know what that was. And if you would have asked me, I don't even know if I'd have been able to articulate that to you. But I knew God was doing something. And I knew by going with my friends, it wouldn't lead me towards what I know it would fulfill me. So on December 13th, right there where the kids are hanging out right now, I prayed a prayer to receive Jesus and become born again. Had I gone down that other path, I don't know if I'd be standing in front of you today. I was in a struggle. Y'all, this was the lowest point of my life. I was in a struggle of identity. I was in a struggle of faith. I was in a struggle. I was trying to please my friends. When all along, God was saying, I just want you to please me. So today, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you feel like God's got something big for you. I want to ask you the most important question of your life, your first step. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of, I talked to somebody last night at a wedding. He was an older gentleman. And he said, we were kind of chatting, and he said, well, I'm an associate pastor at a church. And he was older. He said, my only regret is that I didn't do this sooner. I said, pastor, let me tell you something. Your best days are in front of you, not behind you. Because you've said yes to Jesus and what he wants you to do, then God's best days for you are in front of you. And I want to look across this room and let everybody know that your best days are not behind you. I don't care how old you are. God can use you right now. Because if he can use a 100-year-old Abraham and a 90-year-old Sarah to be the future of Christianity, I know he can use you. So I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? So maybe you say, Pastor Jacob, I don't even know what that means. Well, it's as simple as ABC. A, we admit that we're sinners. We admit that we've made some mistakes. B, we believe. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And then C, we confess that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you that question. And look, nobody's looking around because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to make you stand up in front of a bunch of people you don't know. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. All I'm asking is that if you'd like to be born again, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And all you're saying is, Pastor Jacob, pray for me. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, so that nobody's embarrassed, on the count of three, I'd like to ask you to lift up your hand if you'd like to be born again. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3, lift it up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up. Keep them up for just a second. Keep them up for just a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You can put your hands down. I want to ask you to do me one more favor. And I'm going to ask everybody to do this so that nobody feels uncomfortable. I want everybody to say this out loud. Out loud. I want you to say this. This is a sign of family right now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Come on, say, Dear Lord Jesus. I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that on that cross, you took my sin. You took my shame. You took my guilt. And you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so that I wouldn't have to go. You rose again on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. This moment I confess, this moment I believe that I am born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say it.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.